Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for August 2nd, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Praying When It's Hard.
Romans 8, 26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Romans 8, 35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
In order to know God, in order to have a relationship, you got to talk to Him. And He's got to talk to you. You've got to have a communication. Without communication, there is no relationship. God made you to have a relationship with Him. He knows everything about you and He loves you. He wants you to know about Him and love Him. And He wants you to spend time with Him on a daily basis. God is waiting. I suggest you find a quiet place where you can keep your eyes wide open and you can talk aloud to God just like I'm talking to you right now. And you just talk to God. And you know what? You don't have to be poetic, and it doesn't have to be a speech, and it doesn't have to be these and thous. And you can actually stop. You don't even have to have complete sentences. God knows what you're thinking. God is concerned about every area of your life, every detail. If you're concerned about it, He's concerned about it. You know what that means? It means you ought to talk to Him about everything.
Amen. I saw that video yesterday. Sometimes Facebook is a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's not. Yesterday it was. Saw that video. I thought it really spoke to what we're talking about. I probably could just do the altar service right now after that. But I also thought it was cool that Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church and writer of such books like A Purpose-Driven Life, is actually paying attention to our sermon series here at Bethany and creating videos for us. I thought that was awesome that he would do that for us. You saying he didn't? Probably not. But I thought it was wonderful. It's on. You can find that on YouTube, or I linked it, shared it on my Facebook page yesterday. But I do know that God's been paying attention to what we're talking about here, because He even answered a prayer. I'll just leave this here. Even answered a prayer that was sort of prayed in jest a couple weeks ago. I found out, I guess it's been a little over a month ago, that I have the opportunity to teach the apologetics class at BCA this year with the seniors, and I'm really excited about that. And I was talking to some different people about that, Jesse and others, and said, wouldn't it be really cool to do a state-of-the-art retelling of a lot of the Bible stories with those seniors at the school and use that time-old method known as the flannel graph? Who knows what a flannel graph is? Who went to Sunday school and had a flannel graph? But I don't have a flannel graph, so that kind of, I can't do that, that kind of stinks. And then a couple days later, into the blessing barn comes this flannel graph set with pretty much every Bible character that you've ever heard of, and some that I have yet to figure out who they are. I got Jesus here. I've got the fishing. We can tell the story about the fishing. So who's here? What seniors are here that are going to be in my class this year? We're going to flannel graph. Aren't you excited? Come on. You are going to tell Bible stories. I think if we meet on a Friday, flannel graph Fridays. I know you're excited. So God's paying attention to everything we need. I'll put this way over here. I'll be watching you because I know you all want this, and this is mine. Can't have it. Oh, and a disclaimer, you can't have Steve's drums either. Some I gave those away last week. He doesn't want you to take them, so you can't have those either. Sorry. You can't have those. Well, I want to tell you a couple stories this morning. I hope that's okay. From my life, I told you I've been doing a lot of reflecting, and man, this sermon series especially for today, I've like reflected so much. I won't have to do it for like decades now. That's just a lot of reflection. But this weekend marks 3 years that Jesse and I have been here in Massachusetts, that we've been going to Bethany. And thank you. I want to thank all of you for making us feel so welcome, for reaching out to us, for loving us, for giving us jobs. That's good. It's really great. And some of you know I'm a missionary, so I raise support. Some of my support to be here, and some of you have been faithful to help us with that as well, and it means a lot. It's coming up on a year working at CNE and 3 years here, a lot of reflecting, talking about prayer. So I want to tell you a couple stories. The first one is about our first visit to Massachusetts. This would have been in March of 2012. We came on our fact-finding expedition, I guess you might say. We flew up here from Missouri. We were going to be here for 16 days. And in Massachusetts, we were going to visit. We visited here at the church. We visited with the lead pastor of the Assemblies of God for New England to talk about me being a missionary. And so we fly, as you would, from Springfield, Missouri, into Logan Airport. And we land at the airport. We go get our rental car. We're set to go. I put the GPS up on the dash. And we had to go from Logan to the Sturbridge area where Pastor Bob Weiss lives, the head pastor for the Assemblies. And we had to go there. It's an easy one-hour trip straight out the Mass Pike, no problem. Turn on the GPS, get in the car, turn on the car, and we go. Quickly realized we were sort of in trouble. This GPS is going nuts. It's recalculating every couple seconds, and we're turning so fast, and it can't keep up with us. And we're going, and we're 40, 45 minutes. We're still deep in the city of Boston. We're driving around Northeastern University. And we're like, where are we? We were supposed to be there, you know, already. We're never going to make the appointed time for dinner. And here we are. We're meeting with the head pastor and his assistant and all these people. And now we're going to be late. And what is going on? This crazy GPS is insane. So finally, Jesse pulls out her iPhone and says, I'm going to figure this out. And so she directs us to the Mass Pike, which was a miracle in and of itself. But she gets us on the Mass Pike. And we're heading west on the Mass Pike. First service area on the pike, we stop. And I'm like, I got to figure out what's going on with this GPS. So we stop. I get into the settings. Evidently, the last time I used the Garmin GPS in Missouri, I told it to avoid all highways and avoid all toll roads. Doesn't work very well in Massachusetts, especially when you're leaving Logan Airport. I think it was going to take us 6 days to get from Boston to Sturbridge. So we got that all connected and switched around, and the rest of the trip we were just fine, and now we can laugh. It was a little embarrassing. I'm sure we're thinking, I know Jesse's thinking, what is he getting me into? You know, and I think the pastor that we met to visit was like, these guys aren't going to hack it here. They're from the sticks of Missouri, apparently. They don't know how to use. So we got there. We reprogrammed our GPS. We got where we needed to go. How many of you know GPSs are wonderful things when they're programmed correctly? And even then, they sometimes have some issues. But when we moved from Pennsylvania to Missouri back in 1993, we didn't have a GPS back then. We had what you called paper maps. Remember using those to get there? And a little while after we moved there, and Al Gore, you know, invented the internet and Google Maps, or MapQuest, I think it was, you could print off maps from there to get you where you needed to go. And so when we lived there for 19 years. When we moved to Massachusetts, that was the first time that we moved to a new area where we actually had iPhones and Google Maps and map apps and GPSs, and they've been extremely helpful. My first ministry position when I moved up here, I was in New York City on a regular basis, about once a month, driving from here to New York City, from Manhattan to Brooklyn, back and forth. And I would have never been able to do that, or at least not maintain my sanity doing that without that trusty woman in my phone who tells me where to go. She got me everywhere I needed to go and back again. So that's been a plus for me, but I've also noticed, at least the way I use a GPS, when I use my GPS, I miss a lot of things. Like, okay, we've been here 3 years. I still really don't know where anything is. I know how to get to church. I can get to work. I know how to get to Gillette Stadium. You know, I know important things. But if you ask me, did you go through such and such? Did you go through Holliston? Or did you go through here or there? Or did you pass so and so on your way? I don't know. I just go where the lady in the box tells me to go. And if we're driving along and it's beautiful country, Jesse will say, look at those mountains or that beautiful beach. No, not right now. She's about to tell me what to do next. I can't watch that because she's going to tell me in 0.3 miles to turn right. I know it's probably just my problem, but it's true. But one of the things I love about the GPS is it allows us to avoid certain situations. And when set properly, it really helps us come and go where we need. We can avoid toll roads, highways, dirt roads, traffic congestion, tunnels and bridges. There's one app out there that allows you to avoid turns. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I did. I was in research, my deep research for this. And it allows us to pick between usually the fastest or the shortest routes from here to there. As I was thinking about and praying and talking with Jesse and Pastor Phil and others about this, especially this morning's message, one of the things that God pointed out to me, showed me, was that some of us do that with our prayer life settings, too. We want to turn off all toll roads. We'd rather not have to pay a price for anything. Free and easy is what we want. We want to avoid all dirt roads, any bumps or potholes or off-roading. We want a smooth, easy ride. Traffic congestion. Boy, you want to get me mad? You get in the way of me and what I'm trying to do. So whether it's traffic pile-up or I still remember when I had my, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning, but when rage was a problem for me, I can still remember one particular instance because I was way out of line. I worked in the business office. I was coordinator of business for the Assemblies of God Seminary in Springfield, Missouri. So one of the things I was responsible for was making sure people got paid for things that they did. And we needed to pay someone for something that they did. And I called the accounting office and said, we need to cut a check for X amount of dollars for so-and-so. And they said, we can't do that right now. Well, it's your job. It's what you do. You're the accounting office. You write checks for people. Yeah, we're out of checks. So how does the accounting office run out of paper checks? Yeah, you're going to wait. The order, it should be here in a week or two. I did not handle that the way Jesus would have handled that on the phone and then my follow-up email to this woman because no one gets in the way of me and what I'm trying to do. So I would love to avoid all traffic congestion in my life. Tunnels and bridges, maybe signifying dangerous passages of life. I still don't get this avoid turns thing, but anyway. We want to pick the fastest or the shortest route from here to there, from sickness to well, from brokenness to wholeness. And we would love to avoid anything that slows us down or delays us. And I mean, that's really what prayer is all about, right? I have a discomfort, I pray, and God instantly takes it away, right? That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, therefore I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. See, I'd like to turn all that stuff off. I'd like to set my prayer settings and my life GPS so I can avoid weakness, insults, persecution, hardship, difficulties. Wouldn't that be great? Just turn it all off. It doesn't work that way. We're all on a journey through life. Prayer is how we communicate with the designer of this journey, the architect of this journey, and how he communicates back to us about how to get from point A to point B. How to get from where I am right now to where he wants me to be 5 minutes from now and 5 years from now. To get me from a place of weakness, perhaps to a place of strength, from a place of sickness to a place of healing. Prayer is how we walk and get there. So now a little bit about another aspect of our journey. One of my stories. 2003, Jessie began having a horrible pain in her lower back. She thought she probably had just pulled a muscle. And so, but when that didn't seem to, that the pain didn't go away, didn't get any better, she went to our primary care physician, which began the process of many tests, several misdiagnoses, lots of advice, and many prayers. See, she went to that doctor, and he grabbed a hold of the pulled back theory and wouldn't let it go. You obviously pulled a muscle in your back. This is what we must take care of, even though nothing he tried provided any relief. He put her on muscle relaxers to no avail. Sent her to physical therapy, and the therapy even said, I don't know why I'm doing this to you or for you, because it's not helping you at all. I have no idea what's wrong, but it's not a pulled muscle in your back. Going back to the doctor resulted in him suggesting that the pain was where? In her head. Yes, that's what you want to hear. Because what she described was not consistent with his pulled muscle diagnosis. And it's not consistent with anything I've ever heard of before. You always want to hear your doctor say that. Never heard of this, so it must be in your head. See, some days it was in her back. Some days it moved to her side. Some days the pain was in the front of her abdomen. It did. The pain did move around, although it was never in her head. Literally or figuratively. We prayed. And we prayed some more. And the pain got worse and worse, resulting in sleepless night after sleepless night, literally months in a row of, if we were lucky, getting maybe 3 hours of sleep a night. This went on for months, leading to total exhaustion, really in both of us. Life came to a screeching halt. I was in my doctoral program at the time, and I took a couple semesters off to focus on what we needed at home and what Jessie needed. We prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed some more, and yet it seemed that there were no answers coming at all. At least I didn't think there were any answers coming. I came to find out much later that Jessie was getting all kinds of answers. Because the two of us were focusing very different on this problem. I didn't see any of the things that she was seeing happening in my life because I had set my prayer settings a little differently than hers. Some nights I would wake up in the middle of the night simply hearing her repeat the name Jesus over and over and over again because she was too tired to utter any other words. And I would lay there next to her thinking to myself, why are you bothering to call out to him anymore? We've been calling out to him for months and he's done nothing for us. Eventually, I would reach out and I would grab her hand or I would rub her back to give her some support, even though I knew that calling out his name wasn't doing any good. Because in my mind, he hadn't been answering any of our prayers. My prayer life settings were set to avoid all toll roads, all dirt roads, all congestion, all dangerous passages. I didn't want any difficulty I didn't want any trouble. My wife was sick. She was in pain. And God, the deal is I pray and you take the pain away. I pray and you heal. My settings were set on the easy solution to her problem. With my settings off, even when we did get blessed with answers, I didn't see them. For instance, she desperately needed to be able to sleep through the night. One night we were at a prayer meeting at church, and a colleague of hers, a coworker, came over across the sanctuary from the other end of the sanctuary to us and began to pray with her. He didn't know the situation. He didn't know how desperately she needed to sleep through the night, but he prayed that God would give her peaceful rest. And that night, instantly that night, she slept through the night, and every night after that. So she's worshiping God. And I'm going, yeah, big deal. She's still in pain. You didn't answer our prayer. I didn't see it. Because in my mind, I wanted the fast track. I wanted the easy road from my wife is in pain, relieve her pain. I guess I hadn't listened to last week's sermon yet about connecting with the will of God in our prayers. So the journey continues. I decided I was going to show God. I'm going to stop praying. I'll show you. I stopped praying. I stopped talking to him. I stopped worshiping. I even stopped taking the Lord's Supper. When they offered it at church, I let it go by. Because I'll show you. I kept up my end of the bargain. I asked you. I prayed to you. I told you what we needed, and you've done nothing. So guess what? I'll just disconnect. I spiraled into a deep depression. Fits of rage were just horrible. I pretended to pray so Jesse wouldn't know what I was up to. If she asked me to pray with her in the middle of the night, I would do it because I didn't want her to know what I was doing. She recently just told me that she had no idea how bad I was off I was until just a short time ago. And it was good that she didn't. She needed to believe that my prayers were real. I guess the Bible's right when it says that the Spirit helps us to pray even in our weakness. I disconnected from God and began the process, got very close to disconnecting from her, which led to the night where I hit rock bottom. The night when I told my wife, I am sick and tired of you being sick and tired. I am sick of us coming home from work every night and not being able to do anything. Not being able to go out with friends. You see, this all came to a head because of the deep, important reason that we were supposed to go bowling with some friends that night, and we couldn't go because she was in pain. And I was not about to let the fact that she was sick keep me from rolling a ball down an alley of wood. Big, important things. I lost it. I said things that I'd never said before. I wish I hadn't said. Was my rock bottom. My refusal to pray and my disconnect from God brought me to the lowest place in my life where I would fly off the handle about most anything, and I was deeply depressed. I didn't realize any of this on my own, but that night when I heard what I was saying and spewing out of my mouth, I knew something had to happen. The next day I called the Christian counselor friend of mine and went to see him, and we began the process together of exploring what was happening, and he showed me how I was disconnecting from God and starting the process of disconnecting with my wife, and that the worst thing I could have done in the whole world, obviously, was to stop praying to my God. He gave me some things to do to help me cope with my new rage addiction, and I was put on medication to help my depression. Thankfully, God allowed me to hit rock bottom and start coming back around before we got the final diagnosis on what was wrong with Jesse. Finally, I went to a Christian doctor who believed her when she explained, I have this excruciating pain that moves around my body. I feel these sense of this tearing inside my body from time to time, and I don't know what it is. So he ran some tests. He came back with the diagnosis of stage 4 endometriosis. The disease had spread outside of her uterus and was literally gluing together her body parts. Explained everything. Explained the feeling of tearing. It explained the pain that moved around her body. It all made sense. But this also meant having very little chance to have children. This was not the diagnosis that either of us wanted. And if we had received that diagnosis in the middle of my disconnect, I can promise you I would have destroyed my life and her life, because I would not have had the support that I needed from my Heavenly Father to hear that diagnosis. Over the next months, we prayed together to get through the surgery that removed the disease and allowed to keep all of her organs intact. It took years of prayer to work through the reality that in spite of the great work of that doctor and that surgeon, that we would not have children. We prayed together from time to time, even now, about that, but we know God's plan is perfect. Our prayer times helped us to offer thanksgiving to God for the fact that it's been 10 years and she's been pain and endometriosis free. Amen. And she sleeps so soundly through the night right now that even the tornado siren across the street in our house, at our house in Missouri, where we lived before we moved here, when that went off, she slept right through it. And I let her, unless it was necessary to go in the basement. I still have to pray daily to God to keep me from falling back into patterns, old patterns of depression and rage. I have to commit my life and will to Him every day, something I learned at Celebrate Recovery, and it works. I'm blessed that God added Celebrate Recovery to my prayer settings in 2008. It's been a firm foundation to keep me grounded. So here's my commercial again. Every Tuesday night, 6:30, Milford Blessing Barn. If you have anything in your life you need to give to God and walk through with us, we'd love to have you come. It will make a difference in your life. Through all we've been through, God has used our prayers and His responses to help us praise Him for the health that we have and be content with the fact that it's the two of us going through this world together. I tell you this not to brag, because there's not a whole lot of this story that I'm really proud of. I tell you this because I need you to hear that no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard life gets, no matter how many times you've tried and you've prayed and you feel like there's no answer, you need to keep praying. You need to pray again. You simply must pray. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray when you feel like you've tried enough, there's been no answer, pray one more time. And then one more time after that. Don't give up. Pray requires discipline. Just do it. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait till you're feeling it. You've got to lift up those prayers, those praises, those petitions to God, whether you want to or not. And it takes discipline. How many of you go to the gym almost every day? Did you have the desired benefits and results from day one at the gym? No. It takes discipline. It takes time. Many of you make it to work on time. That's a discipline. You pay your bills. You practice personal hygiene. Most of you, disciplines. I brush my teeth every morning. That's a discipline. That's something my parents had to teach me to do. And every night, just before the dentist in the room get mad at me, every night before I go to bed. It's the same with this daily prayer. You have to do it. I have to do it. I bet if we took a poll at the Blessing Barn of my staff, they would be able to tell you what days I prayed and which days I didn't before I came to work, because I'm not always the same guy. Couple side notes. As much as I love listening to worship music, as much as we may love listening to preachers in our car on the way to work, listening to worship music and preachers in your car on the way to work is not a substitute for praying to God every day. It's wonderful to listen, but it's not the same. And the other side is for the men in the room, specifically husbands or dads or those who aspire to be. 8 or 9 years ago, I was challenged by a professor in one of my doctoral classes to pray a blessing over my wife every day. So I came home from that class and I said, I'm going to try something. Every morning before I leave, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray that God blesses you today, that God protects you today, that He keeps you from anything or anyone who would try and harm you today. And we're going to do that. We've been able to do that every day for 8 or 9 years. We were trying to figure out this weekend when we started, but it's been happening so long. I pray for her, she prays for me. It didn't take very long, just a few weeks into it, that she came to me and she said, this blessing thing is making a difference. I can see, I feel different when I leave the house because you've prayed over me. And I feel the same. If I'm traveling, if I can call, I call her up and we pray in the morning before we get going. If I can't call, I'll send her a text, say I love you and I prayed for you today. Every day for 8 years. Husbands, do you love your wife? If you do, pray over her every day in her hearing so she knows that the spiritual head of her home loves her and loves God and wants her to have a great day. Dads, actually parents, you love your kids? Pray over them every day in their hearing so they know that mom and dad love them and love the Lord and want what's best for them today, and you begin setting the example that prayer is, in fact, important. I doubt there's any parent here that doesn't pray for their kids, but let them hear you. Pray together as a family. Again, I don't tell you that to boast because I just told you how wrong I've gotten it in the past. I tell you because it makes a difference. And for the husband and the dad to do that for his family is huge. Just a little side challenge. I know I'm not your pastor, so I can't, you know, require you to do anything. But I can ask, suggest. Regular time with God, you just got to start doing it. It's important because it helps you to be prepared for when the traffic congestion comes and the bump in the road comes. We used to talk years ago about being prayed up. Praying when things are great, so if something not so great occurs, we're ready. We can handle it. God has got you covered. And if you're in a situation in your life right now that is overwhelming, maybe you have disconnected from Him. Or maybe you don't know how to pray. We heard it this morning. He's got you covered in the same way. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. You heard me say, there were many times I'd wake up and all I heard Jesse saying was the name Jesus. That's all God needed to hear. He knew everything she needed. All she had to do was call out the name. And there were times where I faked it because I didn't want my wife to know the path I was on. But I believe God honored those prayers too. We went through very different places on our journey, but God met our need. And He'll do it for you. And prayer is a journey. Don't be afraid to reset your prayer settings a little bit. Allow room for detours. Allow time. Allow space for bumps in the road of life. Things that may slow you down a little bit. Allow yourself the ability to see the beautiful things on your way from point A to point B. There's some awesome things He'd like you to see and experience if you give Him the opportunity to show you. Are there times when you pray to God and He moves on your behalf instantly and things are taken care of? Oh yeah. Praise the Lord for that. And are there times where you're going to pray and pray and pray some more and pray again? Yeah, there are those times too. praise the Lord for that too, because he's teaching us things along the way. We have to be willing to praise God for the times we go through the journeys and when difficult things are difficult. The second part of that passage in Romans should give us hope this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And the implied answer is no. Nothing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, read this with me, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation. Read that again. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, I just lost my place, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've got to believe that when you've prayed 52 times and you feel like nothing's going on and am I going to go back for 53? You have to believe that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of your God. You have to hold tight to that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He will move on your behalf. Your prayers have not fallen on deaf ears. But you've got to have your life and your prayer settings set up in such a way that you can hear and experience the things that he wants you to experience. I love what 1 John says, especially the way the message looks at this verse. My purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free when we become, we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know what we've asked for is as good as ours. Now we've got to connect with last week, praying in the will of God, experiencing what God wants for us, what he has for us. And when we pray in that way, the answer is as good as ours. In God's timing and in God's way. So if you're a believer today, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I can promise you that when you speak to him, he hears you. When you bring him your need or your praise, your question for advice, for guidance, for healing, for blessing, he hears that. It doesn't fall on deaf ears, and he will move on your behalf. If you're here today and you're not yet a believer, I can promise you today that if you pray a prayer to ask God into your heart, he will answer that prayer right away. He will take up residence in your heart. And you can set up your prayer settings right from the get-go, and he'll be ready to take you on the rest of the journey that is your life. I'm going to ask the worship team and the prayer partners to start making their way up. In the olden days, we used the term tarry. How many of you are familiar with the word tarry? I'm purposely closing my remarks a little early today because I want you to have time to feel like you have time to tarry. Tarry means to linger in expectation, to wait, to abide or stay in or at a place. The opposite of tarry, not good. Bail, clear out, cut out, depart, quit, or walk out. I was certainly guilty of bailing out on God when he didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted him to. So I want to encourage you to tarry a little bit this morning. The prayer partners are here. Bring them anything and everything. We said last week, God created you. He created everything in your world, everything about you. You can talk to him about everything and anything. If you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, what an awesome thing to come tarry about, to come pray about. These folks would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ and pray a prayer with you that allows him to come and live in your heart and open that door for communication so that he can bless you and walk with you on the journey of your life. They're going to lead us this morning in a song, "Here's My Heart, Lord." Make that your prayer this morning. If God's pulling at you to pray about anything, don't leave without doing that. Take some time. You've got like 20 minutes. We can pray together. If you can't stay to pray, I understand that too, but we want to have an atmosphere of prayer in here. So you're free to go and visit out in the lobby if you need to. But let's worship him. Let's come to him in prayer this morning. Thank you, team.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.